Welcome back, everybody, to Foods Are Not Drugs podcast, www.foodsarenotdrugs.com. My name is Andrew McGivern, and I'm with Omira Health Centers. And the address for Omira is www.omira.ca. That's www.omira.ca. And today on Foods Are Not Drugs, we're going to talk with Croft Woodruff. Croft Woodruff is the former president of the Canadian Health Food Association, past president of the BC Chelation Therapy Association, and co-founder of the Health Action Network. He's been in the industry for 40 plus years. That's over four decades of experience in natural health. He's one of the most sought after people in terms of expertise on the natural health industry and natural health politics. He was given an honorary doctorate in philosophy by the Naturopathic Society of Quebec. He's also got an honorary Master Herbalist certificate from Dominion Herbal College. So he's very well recognized. He's an expert in his field. And today we're going to talk to Croft about Bill C-51 and a few other topics, but we're going to focus on Bill C-51. This is part one of Croft Woodruff, foodsarenotdrugs.com. Welcome to the podcast, Croft.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you've been in the industry for 40 years, and you know, where, from that kind of a perspective on the history of regulation in Canada, what are your thoughts?
Well, at the time that I became involved was actually through my folks who started up a health food store in the interior southeast BC, 1966, and guess what? Health Canada, or so-called Health Protection Branch of the Department of Health and Welfare, as it was known then, was on an attack against health foods and natural health products. And of course they were knocking vitamins and extolling how dangerous they were, when in fact they had no proof otherwise to substantiate some claims. And it's much the same today as it was then.
How long ago was that?
This seems to surface, well, 1966, it just seems about every 10 years it surfaces. In fact, in 1976, we were facing the pharmacists in provincially in Ontario and Quebec and British Columbia were trying to take away health food stores' rights to sell vitamin and mineral supplements. And of course, a big row occurred over that. And the governments, the provincial governments, backed off. The pharmacists ran off to Ottawa, crying to the then Director General of Health Canada, or the Ministry of Health as it was known then. And of course, he was the senior deputy minister at the time. And he told them pretty well, in so many words to get lost, that, that things were fine as they were.
So this is an ongoing battle that, that the industry is having with the regulatory body.
Well, you see, they're trying to regulate vitamins and minerals, which are basically concentrated nutrients. They're trying to regulate them as drugs. And there is a whole lot of difference, because the thing is about drugs is that they are synthetic molecules that have been put together, sometimes mimicking what they think are the active factors in herbs and plants that have obvious medicinal properties. But unfortunately, nature's a very complex thing when it comes to healing factors in herbs and plants. Certainly, over time, humanity has evolved knowing what plants were healing and what plants were not. And of course, agriculture is something that just kind of grew as we got away from being hunters and gatherers. And people learned to understand that so many factors could impinge on our health. And
well, a lot of the herbs have cofactors and different things in them that work synergistically.
Well, that's right, and modify any potential side effects that could possibly be there. I mean, we've heard people, oh, wormwood is so dangerous, you know, and so on and so forth, except that you would have to drink several dozen cups of wormwood to achieve a toxic effect. You would be very lucky if you could get through three cups of wormwood as a purgative for getting rid of parasites.
Mm-hmm. So with Bill C-51, what do you think is the key problem?
Well, I think it basically boils down to this, that the introduction of these bills by Prime Minister Harper and Health Minister Clement appears to be a consequence of Health Canada getting trashed in Alberta's High Court by a small vitamin company in 2006. It goes back to 2003 that when Health Canada launched an attack on a group of mentally ill patients and this company, True Hope, who supported them with a product called Empower Plus. Health Canada and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police stormed the True Hope support center with 17 armed officers. Vitamins are so dangerous they have to have guns. And agents seizing records and computers and cutting off the help that was required by these people who were buying this product. And then, of course, Health Canada, through Canada Customs, seized equipment of the product, which was really an inexpensive and vitamin and mineral formulation, actually that was helping tens of thousands of Canadians to get over their bipolar disorder and enabling them to stop using costly and ineffective antipsychotic drugs. In other words, they were going back to having a normal life. And, well, let's put it this way. Recent medical studies show that these drugs, these antipsychotic drugs that are very expensive, not only are ineffective, but actually make the drug, the user's symptoms worse and cause many of the users to be driven to murderous rages and ultimately suicide. And some of these shootings that we've seen in back east in the universities like Montreal and in major American cities and schools where kids have taken up rifles and shot their fellow students and teachers or postal worker in some other city down in the States. It goes on and on. These people have been on these antipsychotic drugs because they're suffering from chronic depression, bipolar disorder, and the drugs don't solve the problem, it just makes it worse. And the ironical thing is that 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago, it's more like 60 years ago, Abram Hoffer, a distinguished Canadian scientist and physician, he's now retired in Victoria, BC. He worked with Linus Pauling, by the way, on cancer versus vitamins, you know, a few years before Linus Pauling passed away. And he's now retired, Dr. Hoffer's now retired in Victoria. And he proved in the late 1940s and early 50s that vitamins and minerals and other nutrient factors have a powerful positive effect on mental and physical well-being. One of his books was called Body, Mind, and B Vitamins, or is it Mind, Body, and B Vitamins? And it's still probably available in the library, but out of print. He's published over several hundred books on vitamins and minerals and in refereed journals and so on over the years. And here is a man who is without honor in his own country, and yet he established a long time ago. Why is his work not accepted today? Because you cannot patent vitamins or minerals or any natural occurring substance because it belongs to nature. And Big Pharma exists because of being able to patent synthetic molecules to mimic the effect of vitamins and minerals. But unfortunately, with disastrous results, they are suffering billions of dollars in lawsuits, lawyers' fees, and losing credibility before the general public because, well, a recent survey just came out. 71% of Canadians take vitamins mm-hmm. and look to natural healing as a factor in their lives. And obviously that is a threat to these companies, which are the top 10 of the Fortune 500 in terms of
just
profit.
Just the True Hope product alone, they've gotten 25,000 people approximately off of their red flag drugs for bipolar disorder. Yeah. So 25,000 times $1,200 a month is a big hit.
Yeah, and the thing is that I feel that the introduction of this bill, C-51 particularly, if it's passed, it gives Canada the right to authorize or prevent clinical trials. Such power would spell the end of progress in science and medicine in Canada. When universities can no longer do research independent of interfering government bureaucrats, this is no longer science, but something else. I mean, you know, if actions weren't enough, you know, Health Canada forced the University of Calgary to stop a clinical trial on True Hope's product, this vitamin therapy, even though the government of Alberta had funded it. You know, such arbitrary action gives a lie to claims by Health Canada and as echoed by Tony Clement, the health minister, that they have to have proof of safety and efficacy. My goodness, safety and efficacy is, or efficacy, that's the whole reason that for all clinical trials, safety and efficacy. That's what Alberta, government was interested in. That's what the University of Calgary was undertaking to do, and yet you have the government trying to cancel it, or they did cancel it. And now they want to have a supreme authority as to who can do or not do clinical trials. This is not right, and for that reason alone, this bill should be thrown out. And in fact, as far as I'm concerned, the health minister and the senior bureaucrats, they should be censored by Parliament.
Well, the new act, it does add a definition of clinical trial, as well as a prohibition on conducting a clinical trial for a therapeutic product without Health Canada authorization. Previous to the Natural Health Product Directorate, universities did not need to get Health Canada approval.
And why should they? Because they're supposed to be independent research establishments, aren't they? Are they trying to say that a bureaucrat knows more than a university professor who's had years and years of training and experience in his field? This just is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, it sounds like Nazi Germany when they had trained SEALs in the universities setting up genetics to conform to so-called superior races, you know, Aryan superiority and all this crap that led to the Holocaust.
Well, it's especially ludicrous when you take into consideration the fact that that Health Canada is saying to companies like True Hope and the Strauss Herb Company and other natural health product manufacturers that they have to have the peer-reviewed clinical trials in order to make any kind of a health claim, in order to have their product on the market.
Well, this is clearly designed to edge them out of the marketplace and leave it free for the big drug cartels. It's too bad they wouldn't apply the same strictures to the drug companies who have given us things like Vioxx that has killed people, Baycol has killed people. In fact, it is estimated that the leading cause of death in North America alone is death by medicine. Death by adverse reactions to drugs, adverse reactions showing up long after the drug has been approved and put in the marketplace. So it is quite obvious that the drug regulators themselves are not doing their job where it really counts, because it is these toxic molecular drugs that are patented and very profitable that are rushed into the market. Just recently, this will be the fourth time in 8 years that they've had to recall a childhood vaccine called rotavirus, which is a form of infant diarrhea, which is easily solved in industrial nations. It's widespread in the worldwide, but three shots at an accumulated cost of $100 means profit to Big Pharma. But the drug so far, so far has had to be withdrawn. This is the fourth time now in 8 years that they've had to withdraw the so-called RotaShield virus, or the equivalent thereof, put out by either Merck or Wyeth or GlaxoSmithKline, and I forget the third company. But nevertheless, what we're looking at here is, believe it or not, genetic engineering. One of the rotavirus vaccines was actually combined with a bovine virus. This is genetic engineering, and people don't realize that they're subjecting their infants to it. Another one was RotaShield was the one that was combining a gene or a virus from the intestinal tract of the rhesus monkey, again with a human gut virus. This is absolutely absurd, and people don't realize that they're being subject to genetic engineering without their knowledge or consent. Where is Health Canada in that? This shows you how out of control the bureaucracies are.
That's another issue too, because Bill C-521 was squashed, mm-hmm. and that was the legislature that would have made genetically modified foods labeling mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
So this one isn't getting through, but yet they're trying to ram through Bill C-51.
That's
and Bill
right,
C-52.
And they will bring it in again and again until our big problem is that our politicians are not getting the information they need. In some ways, in Ottawa, they're kind of a captive audience. And what can you say?
Well, I was talking to somebody else that, in terms of zoning regulations in the development industry, where big money is behind changing a zoning regulation, they'll keep pushing and pushing and pushing over and over again until they get it. They only have to win once, and it's just like with natural health products, you know, these style of regulations, they've been trying and trying and trying, and they'll keep trying. And once they've won, the regulations are in place, and we're in a situation like Australia,
yeah,
where they only have four manufacturers, or Codex in Europe, where they've got ridiculously low upper levels of vitamin C, for example, or other nutrients.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. And with Bill C-51 coming out, Health Canada is putting a huge budget towards enforcement. They're on a recruitment drive in all the universities.
And they'll be getting university students who are pretty well brainwashed on synthetic chemicals that are patented and profitable, and they will have that bias. Only a few that come out of there will have an interest in natural healing and natural medicine, and they will be sidelined and overlooked. You can be certain of that. They only want what they want is robots. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous when you have an agent of the government coming into a vitamin exhibit, packing a pistol as if somehow vitamins are going to start firing away like a machine gun.
You've been listening to part one of Foods Are Not Drugs with Croft Woodruff. This is part one of four, and hopefully we'll see you over at part two of Foods Are Not Drugs with Croft Woodruff. Thanks for listening.